It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Cassaro, and co-host, Dennis Bergmeier. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit us online, painlessliveringradio.com.
Well, we would suggest that you hang with us right now for the next hour or so.
That's right. And call in with your questions about any chronic pain. Anything that hurts is fair game. Well, I guess almost anything that hurts. No in-laws or
yeah.
Let's not IRS.
Be singing a cop any verses of Love Hurts or anything like that. We know all about that, but we can't do anything about it. Sorry.
That's right. But your chronic pain problems, we can do something about
it. We can, and you can discuss it with the doctor at 888-440-4442. Absolutely free, no problems. Get on in, no waiting, no copays, no nothing. It's a great
time. We'll try to give you information that you can start using today to get relief from your chronic pain or steer you in the right direction for professional help that you may not have acquired yet.
And also for temporary relief while you're waiting, one of the most frustrating things in the medical business these days for a patient is calling and having a doctor say, yeah, sure, no problem. We can get you in 9 weeks from today.
Oh, you know, that brings up a story. It's not funny, but it happens a lot. Is I'll get a new patient that comes in the office and they say, well, I've already been to my orthopedic surgeon or my family doctor who got an MRI and told me I need surgery. And I called up to make an appointment with the surgeon and my appointment is 10 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I do for the next 10 weeks?
Right, exactly. That's one of the reasons the good doctor is here.
That's right.
At the other end of your telephone, because we know that there are temporary fixes necessitated by the fact that you have to wait. You know,
exactly. In fact, that's almost more demand than the people that just come in saying, you know, start from scratch.
Yeah, exactly. Is it easier for you if someone comes in knowing what it is they're being treated for?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. If they've already either self-educated or been educated through the hard knocks school, the healthcare system, then we can spend a lot more of the time that we have together discussing what we're actually going to do.
Right.
Instead of having to go through all that education process, this is what you've got. This is why it's hurting. This is where the alternatives are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you find probably it also helps the patient relax them a little bit for the impending surgery 10 weeks down the road.
They've already gotten the bad news.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't have to deliver that.
Right.
So it is easier, but it's not the kind of thing that I don't do on a regular basis anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things we wanted to discuss today, just in general, was diabetes and pain. And diabetes is diabolical enough in and of itself. But there are existing conditions that it exacerbates, other conditions that it causes, creates. I mean, there's a lot of things that can be caused by the diabetes.
That's right. A lot of, it's almost, when we do a show about pain caused by diabetes, it almost opens up the Pandora's box for anything that hurts, because people with diabetes can get any condition that anybody else can get that might cause chronic pain. It's just that for the person with diabetes, it usually hurts worse.
Something to look forward to. Something else to look forward to.
Right. So diabetes and pain caused by diabetes is our topic for today. But all pain questions are welcome. Yeah, if you've got backache, headaches, knee problems, things like that, feel free to give us a call at 888-440-4442. And I'll try to get you information that you can start using today.
When you talk about diabetes and the prevalence of the disease in society today, I mean, what kind of stuff is actually causing the diabetes, causing people to come down with it or get it or whatever the proper term is?
Well, I don't know that there is a proper term, but there's a lot of information being bantered around about heredity and about, you know, different things in the environment. But the nuts and bolts of it is no matter what else can be contributing to it, diabetes is a disease caused by what we eat.
Okay.
Because even people that do have the genetic makeup that makes them more susceptible to diabetes, mm-hmm. if they eat the diet that their ancestors ate, they won't have diabetes. Mm-hmm. But it's things in the modern diet. And
the processed foods, et cetera, things like that?
Well, it's different things for different people, but the processed foods, especially the heavy reliance on grain mm-hmm. and added sugar. Okay. I'm not sure that the added sugar is as much of a cause for diabetes as all the starch and grain is.
Right.
But once you've got diabetes, the sugar is what gets you into the trouble right now.
And sugar as sugar is one thing, but as you mentioned, the grains and the starches, the body turns those into sugars in the digestive system, doesn't it? Or
well,
was I absent that day in biology class?
No, that's what happens. And that's one of the reasons that I made that statement that I think the starches mm-hmm. are more of a problem than the sugars that you eat
right.
as far as developing diabetes, because it kind of gives you a sustained release system mm-hmm. for sugar, where right. when you eat sugar, you get a big surge of sugar when you eat it, mm-hmm. but then hopefully it's taken care of by your body's compensating mechanisms.
Should things be working properly, that's how it would happen.
But with the starch, your body compensates to try to take care of that, but then the sugar just keeps coming because the starch is getting converted. Whew.
Now, is it a given? Or is everybody who's obese, whatever criteria you're using to determine obesity these days, destined to get diabetes or just in line for making themselves more susceptible
to it? Yeah, not necessarily, but it's one of those things that makes the chances that much okay. greater.
All right.
Yeah, certainly there are fewer thin people with diabetes than there are obese people with diabetes, mm-hmm. but plenty of thin people can get diabetes.
Are there any other maladies that the medication for can make one more susceptible for diabetes? Is it a side effect of some other treatment?
Yes, there are. There are a lot of medications that can do that. Primarily, I think what they do is they make you gain weight, and then the weight gain okay. predisposes to diabetes. But there were some medications that around 10 to 15 years ago, a lot of these were psychiatric medicines, mm-hmm. were implicated as being specifically more dangerous than routine medicines for wow. weight gain and developing diabetes. And although those medications are still on the market, they have to carry what's called a black box warning on the label. So sure. it's at least nobody is able to claim anymore that they're shocked mm-hmm. by the development of obesity and diabetes after right. taking the medicine.
Have you ever run in your own office practice here, run into a person who comes in with pain, not knowing they had diabetes?
Yes, that happens a lot. When I say a lot, let's say a handful of times a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
People will come in and they've got new onset of some symptoms, maybe gradually getting worse mm-hmm. over 4 to 6 months. So I do some routine testing and I ask them after the test results come back, has anybody ever talked to you before about diabetes? Because I think that's what we're dealing with here.
Wow.
The single biggest complaint there, though, is usually not pain. It's mm-hmm. fatigue.
Okay.
People that are, they might have aches and pains, but what they primarily go to the doctor for is they're all of a sudden feeling tired all the time.
Mm-hmm. And the sleep doesn't. It's a fatigue that sleep doesn't seem to
even
help.
When they wake up in the morning,
yeah.
they feel just as tired as when they went to bed the night before.
That is not good to live with. Not at all. Now, with the diabetes itself, and again, our number here is 888-440-4442. Dr. Cusaro's right here, ready to talk about any type of pain you have, but we're going to be talking about pain and diabetes-related pain. But feel free to change the topic if you want to. This is not carved in stone. It's just printed on paper. But now, of course, the sleep and the exercise and the routine and keeping yourself on a diet is a great way, as you said, to not only put off many other maladies, but diabetes specifically, because it is so diet-related. But are there any other home treatments that can keep one from, I don't want to say, what's the proper term, getting diabetes? I mean,
I don't know that there is a proper term. Okay. Because it's not the kind of thing where yesterday you didn't have it and today you caught it, a cold or something. Yeah. It's not like that. It actually takes many years, in fact, for a lot of people, decades, to develop diabetes, to eventually overcome your body's ability to cope with and mm-hmm. adapt to your lifestyle, and then it starts unraveling and you develop diabetes. That takes a lot of time.
Because what you've basically done is pushed your body beyond the limits it has naturally to cope with what you're doing, right?
Right. So you don't really catch diabetes. In fact, another way to look at it is you have to work so hard to get diabetes and then to maintain it mm-hmm. that if you ever stop your vigilance, it'll disappear.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. If you change your ways, does it go away or is it here to stay once the situation exists?
Let me be clear. We're talking about what's called type 2 diabetes mm-hmm. or adult onset diabetes, which is the most prevalent type these days. It can go away. The longer you've had it, the harder it is. But it can go away completely by changing lifestyle, mm-hmm. diet, exercise. Those are the two big ones. And, sometimes the diet change is so radical that it can't happen quickly. You can't say, okay, I'm going to go on my anti-diabetes diet mm-hmm. Monday.
Right.
It takes a long time to get that to become your habit and your new way of eating. Mm-hmm. But every little step in that direction helps. And one way to look at it is if it took 20 years to develop diabetes and it only takes you 10 to reverse it, mm-hmm. you've probably done pretty well. Of course, right. We're still talking about 30 years of your life on a roller coaster.
It's quite a time commitment. Are the prepackaged diabetic-approved foods anything worth looking at, or is that just a sales gimmick?
Actually, I've been considering opening up a website to sell that stuff because mm-hmm. that is so good for business. All of those diabetic foods that use artificial sweeteners to mm-hmm. still tantalize the sweet tooth of the people that have diabetes and in the meantime make the diabetes worse. And people with diabetes have all kinds of problems with arthritis pain, mm-hmm. neuritis pain, headaches, things like that. It's really good for my business. No, all kidding aside, most of those goodies that are marketed as safe for diabetics mm-hmm. actually make their diabetic complications worse. The eye problems, the blood pressure, the kidney problems, the mm-hmm. heart problems get worse faster eating those made for diabetic foods than if you just eat real food.
Do you have a source anywhere where someone who's saying, wow, I don't know if I do or do not have it, but let me try to head it off at the pass here. Is there a source for a specific printed dietary guidelines other than just using common sense? Because there's so little of that in the world anymore.
It's not so common.
No,
is it?
It isn't.
Well, there are a lot of sources. The problem is that all of them claim to be the true source. But we can answer that a little bit after the break.
We will hit that. 888-440-4442 is the phone number. You have any questions about pain of any type, get into Dr. Cusaro now.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessslivingradio.com.
You can get through right now at 888-440-4442, or another way for those who may be too shy to actually get to a telephone and call is you can always go to painlesslivingshow.com and use the contact button and send an email directly to Dr. Cassaro.
That's right. All the email questions do get answered. Mm-hmm. It just might not be right away. So don't sit there by the computer waiting for an instant response.
But we have had an email come in regarding the topic of today, diabetes and pain, and I'd like to get to that now, if that's okay with you, Doc. It says, Doctor, I have had numb fingers and toes for years, and I just got used to it. I haven't had any problems, but over the summer I started getting some tingling in my palms and fingers. Then since about Labor Day, it's become a constant burning. It's getting really uncomfortable now. It's constant, and it seems to be getting more intense. Today in the shower, it felt like I stepped on glass. No glass there, none in my toe. Then when I put my shoe on, I felt the glass again. Still no glass in my shoe or my toe. And now I'm scared. My father died from diabetes. He had both feet amputated before he died. How do I stop this neuropathy?
This is very similar to a question that I get asked in my office a lot, especially when I first give people the news that either they have diabetes or the diabetes that they have that they think they're controlling is contributing to the pain that they came to me for treatment.
Right.
I get the question, okay, my parents or grandparents had horrible problems with diabetes late in life. What do I do to avoid that? So it's a common question. The problem is a lot of people aren't really equipped to take the steps necessary. But the answer to the question is that there's a lot that can be done to avoid that. And first thing, of course, we'll spend the least time on, but the first thing is to keep your diabetes under the best control possible. Be meticulous about your diet. And this is not about blood sugar. If you say, well, my blood sugar is never over 150, well, you know, that's pretty good control of diabetes, but that's not going to keep you from getting diabetic complications and pain.
Okay.
You know, when you look at somebody with a normal blood sugar that doesn't have diabetes, they might run in the 70s or 80s. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And even up to 100 is considered normal range, but the closer you get to 100, and certainly when you get over 100, your chances of developing some diabetic complications, even though you don't have full-blown diabetes, get greater and greater the higher your fasting blood sugar is. So first step, not to beat the dead horse that's already dead and buried, but is control the diabetes. But then the next step, especially for a person like this, it doesn't sound like he's had much treatment at this point. He just said that he got used to having numb fingers and toes and never really bothered him much, but now it seems to be getting worse. Well, there are some medications out there that really don't cause a lot of problems with side effects that can do a pretty good job with this mild neuropathy, pretty good at reducing it so that it makes it easier than for him to concentrate on doing the other things he needs to do to control diabetes. Right. Now, if he keeps living like he's living and just takes the medicine, yeah, it'll work for a while, maybe 5 years, maybe 10, but eventually his neuropathy will progress and the medicine will no longer be enough, and then he'll need new medicine or more medicine or more things on down the line. So it's not a... The medicine isn't intended to be a license to continue. It's meant to be an aid to change.
You still have to take care of yourself. But now, one of the things is when he said, like, he put his shoe on and felt like there was glass in it. I mean, that's a very sharp pain and very localized. I mean, you would think that if your feet are going to hurt, your feet are going to hurt. But that's not the case here. How does that happen?
Especially in the early stages. It doesn't become constant yet. It's intermittent, and it may start out with a place where you have just some normal sensation, but in the process of transmitting that normal pressure signal, maybe when you're bending your toe up as it's sliding into your shoe, that pressure with bending signal gets changed as it goes through the circuitry, kind of like kids playing the telephone game. The message changes as it goes down the line.
Right.
And so by the time it gets to his brain where he feels, where he gets that signal, the signal comes, wow, something just cut my toe.
Okay.
And that's because the nerve, the transmitting nerve, isn't working quite right. It's still working enough to transmit a signal, but it changes the signal.
Okay. And it's the and that is a complication from the diabetes itself?
In all likelihood. You know, you brought up one of the things that I wanted to talk about here is that there are other things that can cause that.
Okay.
And one of the traps that a lot of us doctors get caught in is when somebody comes in that has diabetes and has some neurologic complaint, to just automatically assume that this is from the diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that somebody with diabetes can still get anything that anybody else that doesn't have diabetes could get. So if this man did not have diabetes and came into my office and said that he was getting sensations in his toes like glass, and I think burning in his fingers, he could have some other type of neuropathy. Maybe he worked in a chemical factory or something. Or one of the other things to look at is something we've talked about on this show before, spinal stenosis, especially in his neck, that could easily cause what I've heard described as starburst pains or electrical pains or stabbing pains. And it could be on both sides very easily. So I think, especially since he hasn't had a lot of workup, sounds like he hasn't gone to the doctor much. He's just gotten used to numb fingers and toes. Right. It probably warrants some investigation just to be sure that we're not missing something that's treatable with our assumption that this is a complication of his diabetes.
So from a standpoint of a physician like yourself, when confronted with a diabetic who is suffering this type of pain, rather than falling into the trap, do you do the same routine that you would do to track down the cause of the pain in a person that you knew was not diabetic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part, it would involve x-rays of the neck and low back. And then if either one of those shows indication of something to pursue further, probably get an MRI of the neck and the low back. And certainly there's no substitute for a good hands-on physical examination.
Right.
And if that indicated other imaging studies or testing that should be done, certainly pursue that. And then because the man has diabetes, I would also order some nerve testing to see if this could be diabetic neuropathy, or if it looks like it might be some other type of neuropathy, or it might come back normal. And the thing is, you could still have a mild neuropathy and have it
come back normal.
So sometimes that doesn't add anything, but other times it can be tremendously vital as far as steering you towards the correct diagnosis.
Any of this sounds familiar to you and you want to find some doable at home on your own relief for the pain you may be feeling, feel free to jump on in at 888-440-4442. That is the number here. We are here till the end of this hour and from 11 till noon Eastern time every Saturday with Dr. Cassaro and your chance to alleviate whatever pain you may have. With the diabetes, however, I mean, we're being assailed now constantly if we watch TV with the ads for the diabetic nerve pain relief. How difficult is it when someone comes into your office? Because I don't want to call it hypochondria, but a lot of times when we are assailed with, these are all of the symptoms of this, and we go, well, I've got a couple of those. Do you find that there's like a larger influx now of people coming in going, I think I may have diabetic nerve pain?
Not as much as it used to be, but when they first started doing direct advertising of pharmaceuticals, it was really tough to practice medicine back in the late 90s. Because people would come in with the pharmaceutical ads and say, I want this medicine. Yeah. And I'd spend more time telling them why that's not the appropriate medicine for them than I would trying to diagnose and treat their problem. But it's not that bad anymore. And I think that part of that is that so many people now are going to Google before they go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And so they're getting a lot of information through Google where they have a better idea of whether that truly is a medicine that would be appropriate for them or whether they are scared by it and want to try something else first. So that when they come into my office anyway, that even though those conversations still take place, there's a lot less background information necessary.
If someone, you have to be very generic in any suggestions you give because you don't know the ultimate specifics of anybody. But someone who knows they have diabetes and is suffering some sort of, let's say, pain in their foot, like the gentleman who sent you the email, what would you recommend for them to do at home right now, today, soon as this show is over, to go out and do X, Y, and Z or pick up ABC product in order to try to alleviate?
Well, that's a good question. Usually we wait for a caller to give that kind of information, but there's really a pretty good list of things that we can start with. And one of the first would be magnesium, taking baths in Epsom salts. And I hear that music in my ears.
How about that?
Telling me that we're coming to a break. So I'm going to hang on to the rest of this information till we come back from the break.
And if you want any specifics, 888-440-4442. We shall be right back.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now 1-888-440-4442.
Always a good idea to do that here every week, every Saturday at this time. So write the number down. You may need it.
That's right. We're about halfway through the show now. So this would be a good time to get your call in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
Call up and see what we can do to help you lead a pain-free life.
It's what he can do. I just ask the questions. He gives the answers that help. Trust me on this one. But we were talking about Epsom salts.
Well, we were talking about what somebody with diabetic neuropathy can do at home to try to minimize the suffering. And we were so close to a break, I didn't get a chance really to lay a foundation for the Epsom salts. But so many people with diabetes, in fact, almost everybody with diabetes, is deficient in magnesium. It's just part of having diabetes. There's a few different reasons for it. We won't go into those, but there are a couple of ways to get more magnesium into your system. And one of the fastest is to take a bath in Epsom salts. And you just fill up the bathtub, throw a couple of hands full of Epsom salts. The magnesium in the Epsom salts will soak right through your skin. So you want to be
submerged. Won't even feel it.
That's right. As submerged as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And just soak there for 20 or 30 minutes until the water starts to cool. And that'll help get magnesium in, especially if you do that on a regular basis, like every night before you go to bed. And it may kill a couple of other birds with the same stone, may make it easier to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
It may also decrease some of your other pains from arthritis, stuff like that, headaches. So magnesium is a good thing for anybody with chronic pain, but specifically diabetic peripheral neuropathy.
Okay.
Another thing would be a nutritional supplement called alpha-lipoic acid. This is actually an amino acid. It's in a lot of the foods you eat, things like that, but not enough probably to really make a difference for the neuropathy pain. But taking that, you can buy it as a nutritional supplement at most health food stores. That will help the nerves to get rid of the waste products that are building up inside the cells and creating the irritation that gives rise to the nerve pain.
Okay.
So it doesn't cure the problem, but it turns the clock back on it. It'll put you back to where you were maybe 5 years ago. So for this gentleman that wrote the email question, it'll put him back to where he's just got numb fingers and toes. rather than the burning in the glass.
Not feeling like he's stepping on glass when he puts his feet on the ground. Okay.
And then just general nutritional supplementation is good. Things like B vitamins, a good quality B complex vitamin, fish oil. Fish oil is very important.
Really?
Get a good quality fish oil. Helps the nerves maintain their cell membranes a little better so that the integrity of the conduction system is maintained better.
Now, pardon the aside here, doctor, but are all of these supplements and things that you're mentioning stuff that normally would be taken care of if we ate the way our body was designed to be fed?
Well, let me answer that simply by saying yes, but the magnesium and the Epsom salts that I was talking about, where that comes from in a normal diet is green leafy vegetables.
Oof.
Okay.
I'd rather take a bath. You're right.
I think a lot of people with diabetes would rather take a bath. So that's why I mentioned the Epsom salts.
Okay.
And then the fish oil is getting harder and harder to come by because it's getting harder and harder to afford fresh fish.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other ways to get omega-3 oils eating land sources, but so much of that is now no longer wild meat.
Yeah.
It's farm raised. It's raised in unnatural conditions, so you don't get the same quality of the oils that you would get in a wild.
It's the industrialized farming that's basically getting rid of all the natural stuff we need.
So it's a whole lot easier when you look at how it's commercially available and halfway affordable by the fish oil instead of trying to look for the expensive meats. Now, certain fish are really good sources, like you could buy wild salmon, especially in season, late July and August, tend to be great times of year to enjoy that at about half the price that you pay for it the rest of the year.
Right.
And unfortunately, though, a lot of the other sources of good quality oil are also sources of good quality mercury.
Yeah.
So it's probably better to buy the filtered and purified fish oil than to eat the raw fish on a regular basis.
Yeah, I guess the mercury would kind of
negate. Eat the fish, not raw.
Right.
Eat the fish.
The mercury intake would negate the fish oil intake from eating fish that's has a higher than acceptable mercury content.
Well, I don't know if it does or not, but there's certainly been plenty of warnings over the past generation or more about the mercury content of fish, and I'm not going to dispute whether the mercury is there or not. Yeah. So just suffice to say that mercury is pretty darn toxic. In fact, it's probably one of the top, if not the most toxic, naturally occurring substance.
Now, this may be an old wives' tale, because I did hear it from my mother, who was an old wife for a while. But one of my dad's favorite dishes when I was a kid was swordfish. And then, you know, in the 70s, that was the major can't-eat swordfish because of the mercury. And I understood that rather than, you know, and then came back on the market a couple of years later, but it wasn't really swordfish, it was shark meat. Whether or not that's true, I don't know.
But I don't know. I can't speak to that. But I do know that the only way to really be sure about the fish that you're buying is to buy the whole fish with the head and the skin still on it, where you can look in a book and recognize whether the fish you bought really is what they had it labeled. But once that fish has been filleted and that meat is out there on the...
Who knows?
It takes a lot of faith.
Yeah. You are a cynic too, aren't you? I love that about you. Now, we have some things here where it says diabetes can make worse, affect, or cause. When you talk about heart disease, is that a symptom of diabetes, a natural progression from diabetes, or just something that can be exacerbated were you to contract diabetes if you already had this type of a situation, cardiac-wise?
I'm going to dodge that a little bit and say both.
Okay.
Certainly, when you have diabetes, it's because your metabolism changes in every cell in your body.
Okay.
So the diabetes affects every organ in your body. Now, some organs are going to do a better job of adapting and appearing to be the same than other organs. Like, for instance, your skin. For most people, they don't get a lot of symptoms of diabetes on their skin, at least not early on. On the other hand, something like your heart, yeah, you're going to start getting symptoms pretty early. And the diabetes can not only cause those symptoms, but if you already have heart problems, high blood pressure, things like that, developing diabetes is just going to make, even if the numbers don't look any worse, it'll be harder to control it with medicines and things like that.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that most of us who are not medically trained need to get in our head, because most of us, we think diabetes, we think, you know, sugar, processing of sugar and insulin in the body. We don't really realize that the diabetes itself affects, as you just said, every cell in the body. So it does lead to things like even digestive problems or skin. And because a lot of people say, well, what is the correlation between having diabetes and having your eyesight fail or having, you know, extremities needing to be amputated?
It gets complicated to explain the exact mechanism in every organ. But basically, the more sensitive an organ is to the changes in the metabolism, the more problems you develop. So the common things that we see are all the most sensitive organs. Eyesight. Diabetes is probably the leading cause of blindness, certainly in the developed world.
Mm-hmm.
May not be throughout the whole world, because I think glaucoma is probably more prevalent in undeveloped parts of the world. But you get kidney failure, or at least decline in kidney function, even if you don't develop full-blown kidney failure. You get changes in your heart and all of your blood vessels everywhere in your body. And that's part of what causes the neuropathy.
The circulation.
Changes in the nerves directly, but then you also get changes in the ability of those little nutrient blood vessels to get to those fine nerves that are out in your fingers and toes. So you get both a blood vessel problem and a nerve problem combining to cause all that burning in your fingers and toes and the feeling of glass or whatever. Other people talk about it feels like they're swollen all the time. Even though they look at their hand and it looks normal size, it feels like their fingers are like sausages. I hear that a lot.
Yeah. Not quite the daily double you don't want to go for. It's not good news to have all of that together. So there are even some things on here that I can't pronounce. And I love it when we get to things I can't pronounce. What is gastroparesis?
Well, that's a pretty darn good job of not pronouncing.
I've been working on it the whole show.
Okay, well, you got that right. You get a gold star. That's where the nerves that go to your digestive tract, particularly your stomach, the ones that make the stomach contract and churn and move your food along, they get paralyzed. They don't work anymore because of the diabetes. So your stomach just kind of sits there like a sack. And when you fill it up with food, the food just kind of sits there. So the people that have gastroparesis, they feel bloated, they feel full, they feel a lot of heartburn because the acid that's in there isn't moving out with any food. It's just staying there to come up into their esophagus, give them heartburn.
So I'm getting better. You know, you listen intently and you'll be able to pronounce some of these words also. And if you have any specific questions of pain of any type, that's what the doctor is here for. We're here for a few more minutes yet together at 888-440-4442. Diabetes and pain, or pain of any sort, get yourself some immediate relief. The doctor can tell you how. We'll be right back.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
Some time together. Take advantage should you be feeling any types of pain whatsoever. You want to know some long-term relief, some short-term relief? This is what Dr. Cassaro was here for. The other end of the phone at 888-440-4442.
And please give us a call now if you've got any chronic pain questions so that we can have time to get some real answers for you.
Right.
Both last week and the week before, we had our last caller at about 2 minutes left in the program, and it really wasn't enough time to do much justice. So call as soon as you can.
Has there ever been any research done, doctor, to explain why we take in too much sugar? Why is there sugar added in so much of our food these days? What
has there any been any reason? I'm going to get out of this real easy. I'm just going to say yes.
Yeah, next question. Thank you. Let's move on. because, I mean, it's just so potentially dangerous. It's not only at the crux of diabetes, but so many other potential maladies. And it
really is.
Like, drop that candy bar. Eat something healthy.
You know, I used this saying once before, and the person that said it liked it so much that he took a picture of me and posted it somewhere, put the quote under it. But sugar is not a naturally occurring product, not the sugar that we know. It's a white crystalline powder from a tropical plant. Now, think about other white crystallines from tropical
it's
plants.
It's probably the only one that's legal, right?
And yeah, first of all, how many of them are even legal? And do we have any trouble with believing that they're harmful?
Yeah. So, like sugar cane, sugar beets, I mean, these are naturally occurring plants.
Well, but the sugar that we're eating is not in the form that it is in those plants.
Right.
And even sugar cane, that's a grass. And for the most part, people don't eat grass.
No, that's, yeah, you're right. Okay. Well, let's move on then, because I'm just depressing myself. How does one treat the diabetes at home? Is there good ways to do that, or is it a purely medical situation with the injections or the pills or whatever?
Well, the injections you're talking about, that's usually insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mostly these days, it's just people with type 1 diabetes that take insulin. That's where their body just isn't making insulin,
right?
And they need insulin to stay alive. For type 2 diabetes, we try to do everything possible to keep people off insulin, because there's no doubt about it. You put them on insulin, that's when they get even worse.
Right.
And it's because even though we've defined diabetes to be a sugar disease, it's really an insulin disease. And it's the excess insulin that causes all those complications with the eyes and the blood pressure and all that stuff. It's two things and primarily. It's insulin and uric acid. And we can't lower either one of those with any kind of magic medicine.
Right.
What we have to do is reduce the need. And the only way to reduce the need is to change the diet.
Because insulin basically is there to negate the sugar.
Insulin is part of your body's adaptation to that diet, to where your diet doesn't kill you. That's what the insulin is trying to do. It's trying to protect you. And when you overwhelm your body's ability to protect you from yourself, I'm starting to need a picture here. Anyway. When you overwhelm that ability to adapt, that's when you start developing symptoms and you get what we term is the disease.
Mm-hmm. So it's curable, maybe too strong a word for type 2 diabetes if you change your ways?
Yeah, curable might be a strong word. Let's say it goes into remission. Okay. That's a better way to put it, but it can be totally asymptomatic.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, you don't have to be no longer diabetic to get relief from your neuropathy pain and get relief from your arthritis and your headaches and your digestive problems.
Yeah.
All that stuff can improve without, you know, going to the extreme. You can still be eating a diet that allows you to be sociable.
Again, I go back to the question that you so successfully skated around earlier in the program.
About the research?
No, about the diet. Is there a place where you can get the specific information of items A through Z over on this column are good for you, items A through Z or double Z on this column are stuff to avoid?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't, just for the record, I didn't skirt that problem. I was saved by the bell.
That's right. You were.
That was the break that came in. And then it was prevalence of short-term memory. Right. Yeah, both of us, I think.
Yeah. Which is caused by too much sugar, by the way.
Yes, as a matter of fact. It's really easy. You know, I try to avoid in my office giving people lists, you know, because...
And people appreciate that.
Yeah. It's usually self-defeating. Mm-hmm. It's easier to just throw in the towel and forget it if you got to worry about which list something is on. So what I try to do is put it in practical terms. And one of the ways to put it is eat what God made, not what man made.
Okay.
Another way is to eat from the produce department and the butcher department and leave the rest of the store alone. And I always point out that the deli is not the butcher department. In fact, the stuff in the deli is among the most toxic stuff in the entire store. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. They take that product from the butcher shop that has maybe a 2 or 3 day shelf life. And you'd be amazed what kind of stuff they do to it to get it to the deli to get it a 90-day shelf life. And it's nothing that's good for you.
Amazed may not be the proper term there.
Let's put it this way. Hot dogs, in comparison, are not all that bad when you compare them to what's in the deli.
And hot dogs are something that basically... Once you watch them make them, you'll never eat another one again. So basically, it's the natural stuff. Even from beef, it's grain fed, not
You can go to even more extremes than that with organic produce and pasture raised beef,
free range
wild
chicken.
Fish. But the first step is to get somebody to move from up and down the aisles to the produce department and the butcher department. And one of the things that helps, one of the things that's a tool that I tell people about is the paleo diet.
Okay.
It's P-A-L-E-O, paleo diet. And the reason for that isn't that I necessarily think it's the best diet for diabetes, but it really is easy because there's all kinds of free information on the internet, not just information about how it works and why it's so good, but recipes. And that's the big thing. So that for somebody that's trying to change their lifestyle, the creative work has already been done for them. If they decide they want to eat chicken for supper tonight, they can go to Google and just type in paleo recipes for chicken, and up will come hundreds of recipes. Just pick one. You can pick a different one each night.
Right.
And then you get, same thing if you want to eat, you know, beef or something else. You just keep putting in the request and you'll get the recipes. And that makes it easy to make a shopping list because if you don't go to the store with a shopping list, you buy all the same old stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you get home, no matter what your intention is for cleaning up your diet, all you have to fix supper with is the same old stuff. So guess what? You're going to eat the same old stuff. But if you use that tool, which is all free, and the hardest part, which is the creativity, the creative work, is done.
And
it makes it a little easier.
It does.
You still have to have your own determination.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do cupcakes come in on the paleo diet?
That's a good question. You know, I'm not sure I recall. I must not have read the whole book.
It was in the last chapter.
I'll go look in the index and see where it points me on cupcakes.
Yeah, see, that's the problem. That's the problem. You
bring up something good. I had a man in my office yesterday, as a matter of fact. He was not a patient. It was a business meeting. And he asked me for some personal help, personal advice on diet. And then, you know, took my picture and posted it on Facebook with the quote that I said, you got a choice. You can pay the farmer or pay the doctor. The farmer gets better results and costs a whole lot less. And it's all those people that are trying to save money buying cheap food. The healthcare industry ends up with all that money they saved on their food plus a whole lot more.
You know, that makes perfect sense. All right. So pay the farmer, not or pay the doctor. Of course, yeah. And then you go and get the recipes because that the creativity, the redundancy of eating the same thing over and over again gets boring. But if you can do it differently and get creative sure. within the bounds of eating correctly, you still eat what you like.
You're just fixing it a different way. Right. It's not like you have to instantly change everything to food you really don't like.
Yeah. Like with some other maladies, the diet is basically just headed with, if it tastes good, you can't have it.
Yeah. Well, we try not to go that extreme.
PainlessLivingShow.com is a website you can go to right now to get a question in to Dr. Cassaro for him to address in a future show. And we appreciate you being here so far today. And I'm John Ashton.
And I'm your host, Dr. Michael Cassaro. We will be back next week from 11 to noon Eastern Time on the Painless Living Show. Please join us.